Good. I look around and I am blessed to have a wonderful family and all of you believers. And I looked at Ken Kennedy last night and I said, at his house, and I said, I don't know what I said, something like, what a wonderful family we have. Because next to my immediate family, you guys are my family. And I'm blessed. I am blessed, so... And that's only by the grace of God. Mr. Bodine, will you hit switch number 2, please, from the left? Nope, switch, yep. Mr. Martinez, will you roll that beautiful bean footage? It's very good, I made it myself.
Said you'd never leave or forsake me. When you said this life is gonna shake me, and you said this world is gonna bring trouble on my soul.
What got me started was there was a group of us from Breakthrough Church that went to a mission trip at the Dream Center. About 4 of us came back with the idea that we wanted to just to continue serving in whatever area or capacity. So we put a team together and we started Feed the Need.
It just makes me feel good, you know, to feed the you know, less fortunate and the hungry, and when they, you know, peek their head through the window or the door, or they tell a volunteer that the food was good, I'm like, all right, thank you. It's like a little slap on the back. I look forward to it every week.
It's been a blessing. It's been helping me to understand what they're all about, because I used to be homeless myself. So I feel where they're at. So.
I wanted to give back, and Heavenly Father laid it upon my heart to help out. And I saw a need for volunteers. And so I talked to them about volunteering and started the next week. Oh, it does lots of things. One, I love giving things away, so that makes me feel good. Two, Heavenly Father said, go out and help my people. And I feel like I'm being needed and used, you know, in a positive way. Not only that way, but also as a role model. I'm a lot older than people think, so I'm a senior citizen. I'm in a wheelchair, and most of the people think, oh, you hit that point, you got to stay home. No, go volunteer, go do things, make yourself useful to the community so that you feel like you're needed and wanted, and all the love and care you get is just wonderful. I collect hugs all day long, especially on Thursdays when I'm out doing volunteer work. And on Wednesdays when I'm out there, too.
It's always nice when they go through and they say, God bless you and thank you. Or I hear someone say, oh, I'm hungry. Thank you for the food. God kicks me in the butt every time I say I want to quit and not go and take the day off. He just says, nope, you're going. You keep holding on. Well, I come here to get a decent meal, to help my budget because I'm on a very low income, and to visit with new friends that I've found here. Oh, it has blessed me triplefold. At the time I first started here, I had absolutely nothing. Now I have clothes thanks to the table at the front that shares. I've met friends that have generously gave me items for my household. It's been a blessing triplefold.
I have met some of the best people through here, but they help keep your energy alive.
Cool.
And they you know, keep refreshing your face. You know, that some people are here to help. Yeah.
Well, usually it's because I don't have the facilities to cook heavy meals.
Okay.
So it helps me just have something to eat in the evenings other than just a sandwich. It's blessed me in a lot of ways, you know, through friendships, people to visit with, you know, because where I live is kind of quiet. And it's blessed me, you know, like with my grandchildren today, see, they need shoes, and the ministry's helped from donations to help them.
It's very helpful to me because I get very little food stamps and my income is limited, and I'm temporarily in need of some outside help to get by these days, but this is helping me through the rough time that I'm going through. Oh, just greatly. It's just a blessing.
It's brought me closer to God, and it's really helped my family.
I would say if they have the time to come and volunteer, it would be really a big help to the community. For some of us older people and the young ones, they're having a hard time now.
This is probably the perfect opportunity for you to serve in any capacity. I mean, you're able to, whether it's doing the dishes, whether it's cleaning up, whether it's actually serving food, you have awesome opportunities one-on-one to speak to people, share your faith, or just to listen to them. I mean, you can continually meet people at their own level. So it's just an all-around awesome place to serve.
Do it. You learn to meet the people on their own level. Leave your judgmental attitude at home. Just come with an open heart. And like I said, you end up feeling wonderful. Volunteers are greatly needed, not only here, but all over, because of what's going on. And we see more and more families that are needing the help, and so they need the services of places like this and others.
I'd say do it, because it's a good experience. It, you know, opens your eyes to what goes on in the community.
I think give it a try. Come down here. It's not for everybody. It can be overwhelming at first, but it is very gratifying, I think. And it's uplifting to me. I mean, it's sad stories, and you see people at their worst sometimes, but it's give it a try.
Who here has been to Feed the Need before and volunteered? Okay, a handful of you. Well, that's what it is. That's our six-minute promo. We're about to step into the summer, which it goes from being inside a building to out on Natchez Ave on an island a couple blocks down from Yakima Avenue. Our own Tanya Hooker, she's heavily involved. She's one of the main people. She helps Darius, and she's there faithfully every week. And this is just an opportunity. It was all said in the video, but this is a great opportunity for you if you want to be the hands and feet of Christ and help those in our own community. This is a great opportunity. The lady said it's not for everybody. I think everybody should try it. I think everybody should give it a shot. And you really, like they said, you open your eyes to some things and situations that you may not have ever really considered. So I'm going to pass this around, and I would ask that you would make sure that it goes all the way around. And if you want to sign up, if you have any desire, just put your information down, and I will contact you, and we will just go from there. And what I'll do is I would just, we would meet, and I would just basically kind of walk you through it and get you familiar with, because there's many different things that you can do. Like Darius said, you can clean, you can talk, you can serve. I mean, you can pray. There's so many things that you can do if you're willing to. So I would beg you to give it a try and sign up, and let's go down there and make a difference in our own community as God has called us to. So, amen. All right, so I'm going to open in prayer. And Just thank you, Father God, for this day, again, for this opportunity to come before you in your presence, to link arms with great men and women and children of God, my brothers and sisters, Lord, whom I love dearly. And Holy Spirit, I am confident that you will speak as it needs to be spoken. And I pray that I not get in the way of your words, Lord, but that you would humbly allow me to speak your word of truth to myself and everybody listening. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So today we got a lot going on up front, and what I see is that people are crying out and people are wanting to, they're just saying, I'm at the end of myself and I need God. And they're realizing, man, I can't do this the way I'm doing it. I need more. I need you, Lord. I need you to be the one who moves me, who motivates me. I need you to be the one who is my my healer, my provider, and everything. And that blesses me to see that, because that is a very challenging thing to cry out to God. It's very challenging, and let alone to do it in front of a group of people. But that's, man, that's when you see somebody is desperate for God, and that just brings me so much joy. So Lord, I thank you for what you've done here and what you're going to do here. At the root of all that is transparency. You cannot have a relationship with God the Father if you do not live a transparent life. And that's transparent before God and transparent before man. And that is a 100% must. A 100% must. You think that, it's funny actually to think that God doesn't see something, or that because nobody else sees something or a thought, that God does not know that. And we think that way at times. And it's really ironic, because God is everywhere all the time. And he wants us, as he drew some of us up today, or those who responded, he wants us to draw closer to him. But we have to do it in a transparent life. Transparency is free from pretense. That's putting on a charade or a mask or deceit. And it's characterized by honesty. It means being authentic or real. So we need to be real before God. I want to read some of the story of David. And who's familiar with David and Bathsheba and then the prophet Nathan and how all that transpired? And if you're not, it's okay, because I will do my best to retell the story in my own way, so it'll be probably a little fun. But you see, David, he allowed himself to get to a place where he committed a great, great sin, and he ended up sleeping with a married woman, and then she got pregnant, and he had her husband killed. And why did he have her husband killed? To cover up his first sin, correct? So he saw her, he gave into the lust of the flesh, he then slept with her, he got her pregnant, and what he did is he created a pattern. From the beginning, he created a pattern. And he found himself, anybody ever been in that position where you're in this pattern where you've told a lie, or you've done something, all of a sudden now you've got to cover your tracks, and or you could come clean, but you cover your tracks, so all of a sudden you have yourself in this big puddle of poo. I have a young man who is in my life, who's been in my life consistently for the last year and a half. I say young, but he's older than I am. Actually, I was praying that he would be here this morning. But he's not, but that's okay. That's one step at a time. And this man, I meet with him on a weekly basis. And it started about a year and a half ago, and my mother was his neighbor. And some of you may know this story, and some of you may know who I'm talking about. All that doesn't matter. But what this man did, he was an alcoholic, and he lived is a very aggressive. I mean, he lived an alcoholic life, and I mean, that was his love. That's what he did. And he was my mother's neighbor before she moved. I got a call from my mother and said, this man, he, you know, told me a situation. Could you come and be with him and pray with him? So I got in my car and I hauled over there. I didn't really know him. I know of him from our past, but I drove over to his house and sat down, and they had already dumped out the bottles of alcohol. And so when I got there, I just began to pray with him and talk to him and tell him, man, you need to cry out to God. You need to cry out to God and let him hear your cries. And so he did. And we started meeting on a weekly basis, but then he dropped off the face of the map. And I would go to his house, and he wouldn't answer the door. I would call him, and he wouldn't answer. And so for a while, we didn't talk. And then he got a hold of me a few months ago. And he said, you know, I really need some fellowship. I need some brotherly love. And so started going back to his house every week. And this has been off and on. This pattern has been, for the whole year and a half, it's been off and on like that. And I just suspect that when he's not available to hang out, because when I would go, we would pray, we would read the Bible, I would encourage him. You know, I would do whatever I could to just be there for him. And so that pattern consisted for quite a while. And then a couple nights ago, we'd been meeting again, and a couple nights ago, he gave me a call, and he said, or I'm sorry, he texted me, and he said that that he was done, that he wanted to cry out to God, but he felt like he couldn't. He wanted to be changed, but he felt like he couldn't, that he was bound. And so I'm texting back and forth, and I'm saying, man, you need to cry out to God. You need to, whatever it is in your heart that you desire, you need to cry it out to the Lord. You need to let him hear it. You need to, every sin that you've ever committed or whatever's holding you back, you need to get that out and allow God to cleanse you. Call on the name of Jesus Christ and you will be saved, the scripture says. And I told him that, and I expressed to him how important it was for him to be real and transparent with his Heavenly Father. And we talked back and forth, and then I said, I'm going to be praying for you. And this was late at night, and I fell asleep and woke up and talked to him the next day, and he said, you know, I didn't do it right away. He goes, I was scared. I was scared because my son was in the next room, and our doors were open, and I was scared what he would think, and I felt like I couldn't do it. But he waited a couple hours, I think he said 1 a.m, and he cried out. And he cried out. Now, I want to try to intertwine the story of David and Bathsheba and Nathan with this young man's story, because David, what he did is he slept with Bathsheba. She was married. She got pregnant. He had her husband killed. And probably many other things that he had to do in order to cover these sins up. And then the prophet Nathan comes in and says, you know, tells him, gives him a story of this man that has a lamb or a sheep, and says to him, there's a rich man. He tells him the story how basically this unfair story about how this rich man took this only man's sheep and used it for a feast at his house. And David said, you know, basically put him to death. That's wrong. He recognized that's terribly wrong. And so so Nathan said, that man is you. And David right then and there, he fell down and began to cry. And this man that I'm speaking of in my life, that night, when he got completely transparent, he said, you know, Josh, it was 1 a.m, and I was fighting it, and I got on my knees, like you said, and I started to cry out to God, and I became transparent, and I told him everything that I had been holding in me, and I let it out, some good and some bad. He said, and then I opened the Bible to Psalm 32, and And this man is not, I mean, not a believer. Prior to this, he's not a believer. He said, I opened the Bible to Psalm 32, and this is what the Lord told. He goes, I read it, and then he read it to me, and it says this. So the Lord, oh, I'm sorry, that's 2 Samuel, Psalm 32. If you'll turn there with me, I'm going to read it. It says, oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away, and I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. And I just want to take an interlude. It says, interlude. You ever get that where you're in the middle of something that you know is not right in your heart and you just feel like you just feel out of whack, you feel heavy, you feel burdened, you feel like you just like you feel like you can't go another step forward? That's what he's explaining here, is that that's what sin does to our lives. When we refuse to confess sin to the Lord, that's what it does to us, is it puts us in a bind. And then before we know it, we're trying to cover up our tracks. So, continuing on, it says, finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. Therefore, let all the godly pray to you while there's still time, that they may not drown in the floodwaters of judgment. For you are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with the songs of victory. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Do not be like a senseless horse or mule that needs a bit and bridle to keep it under control. Many sorrows come to the wicked, but unfailing love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. So rejoice in the Lord and be glad, all you who obey him. Shout for joy, all you whose hearts are pure. What I want to tell you out of all this today is that Satan... What I told this young man is very simple. Satan wants to get a hold of you. Satan can only grab a hold of what you allow him to grab a hold of. Okay? He can only grab what you allow him to grab. And any time that you're not transparent before God, you're giving him something to hold on to. It's very simple. It's basic stuff. Unfortunately, it has taken me a long time to really come to this realization, but that the Father wants you to be in his presence. He wants you to have the freedom. You think Jesus Christ died on the cross so that you could be free. And when you withhold from him, you allow Satan to have a place in your life. Now, God is gracious. Do not misunderstand me or get me wrong. God is full of grace, and we are a work in perfection. So when the scripture says, be holy, for I am holy, the way you're going to do that is by being transparent before God. Because without transparency, you're giving room to Satan. That may be harsh, but that is the truth, that we have to live a holy life before God. We have to purposely, as my wife shared last night, we have to watch the things that we involve ourselves in. We have to, you know, I believe Jesus in the New Testament and the Gospels talked about our eyes being the gateway to our souls, and that we have to guard our heart, that we have to purposely seek God and okay, so you messed up. So let's get on our knees and let's let the Lord into our lives. But he already knows. Well, he already knows a lot of things. But when you confess to him, you're removing any strength of the enemy upon your life. And you're completely out and open. Because the scripture says that one day it'll all be out there anyways. There's a scripture in Proverbs, it's 23:23, and it talks about buying the truth and not selling it, having the truth and holding on to it, and walking with God with complete you know, open and honesty. I shared with the students last week when I talked about transparency and how I kind of equated it to going to the doctor and having, you know, having something that requires a shot, but you're afraid of needles. So you go in there, you go to the doctor, but because you're afraid of needles, you don't tell them the truth. And not only does your original disease become worse, but by allowing them to administer other drugs to you, you potentially have another problem on your hands. And that's how it works with God in our lives and being transparent. The one thing I have learned, that there's been some times and it's been tough, but when you allow your life to be an open book, when you allow God to you confess to God every secret area of your life, you'll be like whoever it was up here that was crying out, and he sees that, and he's and you walk like in John 1:5, it says, what does it say? It says to walk in the light. I'll read it. John 1:5-10. It says, "This is a message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." You see, the scripture describes Satan as a roaring lion who is seeking whoever he can devour. And I'm saying that today, guys, we have an obligation. We have a necessity that if we are going to walk truly in the light, in true fellowship with Jesus Christ, with the Father through Jesus Christ, then we have an obligation to open our hearts to every secret area that we have, to be completely open and honest. And, you know, let's be real, that's nerve-wracking. That's not easy. And it's not fun in the moment. But, we get to have fellowship with the Father through the Son, but we don't have a claw hanging on to us, preventing us from being who we've been called to be. But we can go and help our neighbor. We can go and have fellowship with the Spirit on an every moment basis. But we can be on our face in front of God and know who he is and know his plans for our lives. We can know his word. We can allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us so that when there's people around us that are in need, that we can be that man and woman of God for them. See, David, after he had his run-in with the prophet Nathan, he fell on his face. And all that pride and everything, I mean, I could imagine what that man felt like. He fell on his face and he said, "Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin, for I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned." Do you guys understand that before you sin against man, you're sinning against God? Before you're breaking your husband or wife or child's heart, you're breaking God's heart. We need to remember that. "I have sinned against you. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. For I was born a sinner. Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me, but you desire honesty from the womb." See, he's saying it right here. "You desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew the right spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to rebels, and they will return to you. Forgive me for shedding blood, O God who saves. Then I will joyfully sing of your forgiveness. Unseal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth may praise you. Do not desire a sacrifice, or I would offer you one. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear this together, because this is the key. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. Look with favor on Zion and help her. Rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will be pleased with sacrifices offered in the right spirit, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. This is really important. Then bulls will again be sacrificed on your altar. That was a joke. But the really important part is right here. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. Sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. And we need to have a broken spirit. That's pretty simple to say, but it's challenging to do. We need to have a broken spirit. We need to understand that pride is what condemns Satan for eternity, and that we should want no part in pride. We should not want pride in our lives. And we should ask Holy Spirit continually to make us aware when pride enters. I talked with the students last week about this and about Adam and Eve. The more I read about the account of Adam and Eve, I realize that a lot transpired there. I talked with them about pride and about how they question, how Satan questions God. Or he gets you to question God. And that's a very good signal that pride is entering. That when you begin to question what God has. And you know, we have a fleshly nature. And I'm not saying that you will never sin. And I'm not trying to say that you're perfect, because there's only one that is perfect. But we can be made aware. And we can be made alive. And we do need to understand that pride will be the death of us. And that he asks us to come humbly into his presence. That he will lift us up. We won't lift ourselves up. He will lift us up. And my challenge is very simple. These words that I say are because we have to be transparent. We have to see that more than anything else, that God desires a broken spirit. He desires us to understand that we will not exist, we will not make it without him. He created us to love him, and I have been guilty of this many times, that I have went without prayer and reading my word and just fellowshipping with God and other believers, because I felt like, why? Why do I need to? Well, there's the question, why? Why? I'll tell you right now, pride enters. We don't catch it. We're going on a ride. We need to come humbly before his presence. We need to know that he is our God, and that only by him alone are we able to be who we are. Are we able to do the things that we do? We need to buy the truth and not sell it. We need to hold on to the truth. We need to allow the blood of Christ to wash over us, to redeem us, and to have the same value that it had 2,000 years ago every single day in our lives. We need to walk by the Spirit. You know, David was called by God a man after my own heart. That blows me away, realizing everything that he did. And that blows me away. But he knew David's heart better than David knew David's heart. And yes, David did make some terrible choices. But he came down with a repentant heart. And he wept before the Lord. And he cried out to him. And he didn't care who was there. He didn't care what he looked like. He didn't care anything. He cried out to God. Just like my man did this morning. Cried out to God. Just like my man did the other night. He cried out to God. I told my friend on the phone yesterday, I said, you know what? You're a Christian. I said, you're a Christian. Welcome to the family. I said, there's angels that are rejoicing from one side eternity to the other because you are now a Christian. You're going to make mistakes. I said, don't let pride get in the way. I said, do not let pride dictate your choices. I said, because what's going to happen is there any little thing you do, if you're not transparent, the enemy's going to grab a hold of you. And it takes, sometimes we are dumb. It takes a while for us to realize, my goodness. Okay, we're not dumb. That was actually rude. I'm sorry. But you know what I'm saying. We're not dumb. I take that back. That was actually wrong because we're not dumb. God did not create us dumb, so... That is, yeah, that's far from the truth. But we are hard-headed. How's that? Come on. I apologize. I really do. We're not dumb. None of you are dumb, and I certainly am not dumb. So forgive me, Lord. But we are hard-headed, and we can get bound up in some crazy stuff before we realize it. And I know that you guys hear this today. And I know that it's speaking to your heart. And I know that God wants us all free. And I know that it'd be really nice if Lynette would play Break Every Chain. Just a slight hint. But God is faithful, and he wants us to completely be available to him. I mean, he created us in his image. He created us to do mighty and great works for his kingdom. And there ain't no way we're going to do that without being transparent. There ain't no way, because we're always going to have a hook in us. We're always going to have something that's stopping us because, oh, if I do this, what about this? He's created us to be free. Will you stand with me? He's created us to be 100% free. There's to be nothing holding us back. And I've seen him working a lot. But especially up here this morning, again, that says a lot to me. And I want everybody to open their hearts to him this morning. Just to say, Lord, if there's anything in me, I'm going to pray, Lord, if there's anything in me that is not pleasing to you, I'm going to ask you right now, I'm going to ask you to reveal it. And not just reveal it, but I'm going to ask you to remove it. Because I need to be fully in your presence. And I know that if I'm holding on to stuff, I can't come fully into your presence because I'm not willing to give it up. But this morning, I'm willing to give it up. God, make it known to us, your children. If we are holding on to stuff, maybe we're not fully aware. Make it known to us. Search our hearts, oh God, and reveal that part of us that needs to go. Reveal that part of us that is a hindrance, Lord. And I thank you for your grace because it's gotten me this far. God, you are glorious and wonderful. There ain't no way I'd be standing here if it wasn't for you. But I want to go deeper, Father. I don't want to play a game. The man of God said, you're in or you're out, and I'm in. And I'm in. And part of me says, I want to be out, but Lord, I'm in. And I want to be in. And I want your redemption and your forgiveness. And I want to walk hand in hand with you, Lord, as we were created to in the Garden of Eden. I want to walk with you, Lord. I want to know you, Father. And I pray against pride. And I pray against the root of bitterness. And I pray against the root of anger and control. And I pray against these things, Father, that can so easily trap us. God, expose it and remove it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, let the chains, Father, come off today. And we thought we were free. God, we want to really be free. There's no doubt, Lord, you're the perfecter and the finisher of our faith. There's no doubt, God, that we need your freedom. Forgive us forever allowing pride into our hearts and thinking that we don't need you. That is what condemned Satan. The pride got into his heart, and he thought that he could be above you. He had a desire to be worshiped. I don't want that, Lord. And I pray, Father, today the freedom, Lord. Freedom, Father. Open our hearts, God, to see the truth. For us to walk in the light. We bind the attacks of the enemy, the lies of the enemy. We bind them in Jesus' glorious name. Father, we want to be transparent, but we need you to teach us and to guide us to be transparent. In Jesus' name. Call upon your name, the name of Jesus Christ, who is mighty to save. We call upon the redeeming blood of the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Holy Spirit, we ask of you to completely guide us, to make us aware when we're questioning the things of God, to make us aware when we hit those stumbling blocks. Not to be full of pride and to remind us on a continual basis. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not a one-time thing. We have to completely come before God continually, not just in the morning, not just at night, continually, and allow Him entrance into our lives. And I pray that those chains will be broken. I'm going to hang out. If somebody wants to pray, I would love to pray with you. I would love to agree and see those chains break off. And Lord, I thank you for being faithful again today. Thank you for your promises and your word and your freedom. Can I get an amen? Amen. Thank you for your freedom, Lord Jesus. God bless you all. I'll pray if you want to pray.